Welcome to Wake Up with Hope. This is March the 15th. Sharon Boland with you this morning. Our previous podcast, which was Monday the 13th, we were sharing on the importance of the calling, which is by God's choosing, and the purpose. So there is a choosing. God has chosen us before the foundation of the earth, and he chose us to come to earth at a particular time with a purpose, and that purpose becomes our assignment. So I want to continue today from where we left off on Monday's podcast, because it is so important that we connect with this word from God. It has everything to do with who you were created to be. When you think about the word purpose, you know, that is a word that we hear about very often today. There is a choosing and there is a purpose. When we come into the kingdom of God, we find that out. But the world out there, they are also talking about purpose. But the purpose that people think is really their particular, pathway in life, because think about it, your purpose is a path that you take. Doesn't mean that is God's purpose. So the world today, we have all of these books on finding who you are, your identity, your purpose, but you can't find your true divine purpose until you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You come into the kingdom. So we have to think about this. Why did God create us? In fact, let me just direct it to you listening. Why did God create you? What was his purpose for your life? Your purpose, remember we talked about this Monday, your purpose becomes your assignment in the earth. But how do you know what that is? You were brought to the kingdom for a time such as this. And the time you're in contains your purpose. Again, I want to make sure we are getting this morning. There is a time that you are brought into the kingdom. And in that time, you will find purpose, because they all connect. How do you really find your purpose? What's your reason for living? How do you really find that? Well, again, today, as I just stated, we have many people talking about purpose. We have more conferences on finding your identity and finding your reason for living and finding your purpose than at any other time in history. Christian and non-Christian, it matters not. People want to know their purpose, and they need to be motivated to find it. Why is motivational speaking so popular today? Motivational seminars, motivational conferences, because it helps inspire people to get out there and find their purpose, do something with your life. But that is the world's way, this motivational type of seminars and conferences that really get you on this high and get you out there going and thinking and fulfilling your purpose. And, you know, it does work to some extent. But is the purpose that you find through a motivational seminar your true purpose? You see, God has given every man and woman a purpose. But that divine purpose, the divine reason for your life, is only found when you are born again. Now, you are born twice. You come into Christ, you have two births. The first birth from the womb of your mother, which connects you to Adam, because everyone is born into sin. But being born into Christ now connects you to God. And when you are born again, the seed of Christ comes in you. So think about this for a moment. Every human being is born out of the womb of a woman, and the minute you're born, you come into the womb, you come out of the womb, may I say, you come out with a seed in you that connects you back to Adam. That is why sinning is so easy. Why do people sin so easily? How can we just break God's commands and we live this life apart from God? It's so natural. Why is that so natural? Because it's the seed you're born with. Look at the world today. Why is there so much sin? How are people continually lying and cheating and stealing and deceiving and killing? I mean, they're breaking God's commands over and over and over. And there's not even regard for human life. How can you live like that? Because the seed's in you to live like that. You were born with it. And you can't change because the seed of sin is in you. It's in all of us. So how do we change? You've got to be born again. Because as long as you stay and remain just born of Adam, there's no hope for you. You're going to live in sin. So you've got to have a rebirth. You've got to be born all over again. And how do you experience that? You experience that when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You repent of your sinful life. And now his seed comes in you. That is what it means to be born again. There is a replacement of the sinful seed with the sinless seed. In that sinless seed holds your true purpose and destiny. Remember, every single person, every spirit has been birthed by God. But when you come to earth, you don't always follow God. This is a training ground. And if you continue to live in the Adamic seed, you will continue to produce sin. But those who are born again, they come into a sinless seed, and the true identity and purpose for their life now becomes a reality. Now, if you are carrying that seed in you, the seed of Christ, you're born again, how is that seed activated? How does it become a reality? How do you know what your destiny is? What is your purpose? Well, all new life comes from a seed. Being born again means you're born into a new life. 2 Peter 1, 3 declares, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers. Note this. This is verse 4 now. Of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The divine nature, that is the nature that is sinless. Let me read 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4 in the Amplified. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he hath bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value, so that by them you may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of disreputable desire and become sharers. That means you are sharing in the divine nature. You become a share of that divine nature. So now we get to share that divine nature because of what? The seed that is in us. So again, all new life comes from a seed. Look around you. We are coming to the end of fall, and now we're stepping into a new season, the new season of spring. How do you see that dry, dead grass come to life? Because there's seed under that ground. How do trees produce green leaves when they were barren? Because there was a seed planted underneath that ground. I love to plant. I love to garden. I love to see a seed produce. I remember years ago putting seed in the ground for a particular lily, and that lily only blooms in the spring. And it amazes me how every year there's one part of the house, I will walk on that side of the house, and there's no sign of anything, and all of a sudden, here comes that lily. Here it comes shooting out of the ground. Why? Because there's a seed in there. And that seed brings life. The seed of Christ is in you, and it brings life, and in that life is your purpose. But for that seed to grow, it's going to take a process of time and experience. So you're born again, but do you stop cursing the next day? All of a sudden you have patience? That anger just goes away because, I've got the seed in me now. So you're born again, and then all of a sudden, you're holy? It takes time to change your vocabulary. It takes time for that anger to diminish and patience to come forth. It takes time for you to change. So the seed is in you, but there's a process of time and things you have to experience. And all of those experiences and all of that time is conditioning you to come in to your purpose. How can God bring you into your purpose when you're still immature? You would not be able to fulfill it. You have to grow into it. Every seed contains in minute form what it will eventually become. I can look outside right now in the backyard through this window, and I see a full-grown oak tree. But a full-grown oak tree is in a seed. When this tree was planted, it was nothing but a tiny little seed, but the full-grown oak tree was in the seed, though you couldn't see it yet. It was just a matter of time until it became full-grown. The new covenant, this experience in God, is an engrafting of his seed into your soul. The problem that we have always comes back to the soul. The soul, five senses, how we feel. I don't know. We waver back and forth. The soul is linked with your feeling. It's all of the senses. And the soul is connected to the Adamic nature. And every time you revert backwards, you are allowing the old nature to have power. That is why the watering of the seed of Christ is so vitally important to you to come into your purpose. Do you know how many people email me? I mean, I have been in the ministry for a long time. I cannot even keep up with the plethora of emails about purpose and destiny. I don't know why I'm here. Pray for me. I need to find my purpose. Pray for me. I need to come into my destiny. Pray for me. I need to know my identity. All along, these people do not know that it's already in them. It's already in you. Everything you are purposed to be is in you. It's in the seed of Christ, which resides within you. And you've got to let that seed take over. It's this engrafting of the seed into the soul, and that's where we need it. Do you know that in that seed is a containment of all that Jesus is in himself? All that he is in the seed. His seed contains his perfection and every perfect virtue he has in himself, all of it's in the seed. The seed in you, the seed of Christ, contains the highest form of existence, the glory. No matter how many motivational seminars you go to, nobody can get you to the place of carrying the glory except through the seed of Christ. The highest level of existence is living in the glory. It's the glory that Adam and Eve lost in the garden. And it's the glory that Jesus died to restore. It's the lost glory. Now it has come back, but in a greater form. It's a greater manifestation. The glory is now inside of you. It's in the seed. Adam and Eve walked clothed in glory from the outside. We're clothed in glory from the inside. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and the inside is greater than the out. It's like the glory shining on the face of Moses. It was from the outside, and it affected his skin, but it eventually faded. What we have is a glory that fadeth not away, because we have a seed that generates the power to exude the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. In the seed, in the glory, is your purpose. And right now, if you're listening to me and you're a born-again believer, your purpose is already in you. You're out here looking left and right, up and down, trying to find your purpose, not knowing it's already inside. Purpose is in you. Your destiny is in you. But why haven't you reached it? Why don't you know what it is? Why are we having trouble here? Because the seed is dormant in the soul. Ooh, you've got to think about that. a dormant seed won't produce. You know, I can put seed in the ground right now. I can get this beautiful pot of clay, put this wonderful soil, and put seed in there, and it can sit there. And I can come and look at that flower pot every day, expecting something to grow. Guess what? Nothing's growing. Why? Because it's just sitting there dormant. Why is it dormant? Because I'm not watering it. Without water, the seed's not going to do anything. It's going to sit there. But when you water that seed, it starts to spring forth with life. So the seed of Christ is in you, in that soul. What are you doing with it? You know, the soul is so connected to the outer world that the soul needs to be weaned so that we live in the inner world. That's the world of the spirit. The seed is in there, but we got to get the world out. That means the seed has to be watered, and it's only watered by the Holy Spirit. And if we don't water the seed, we delay the process. So we've got all these Christians out there wandering around, searching for their purpose, not knowing it's already in you, and not knowing that it's the person delaying the process. And the weak link here, the problem, is the carnal nature. It always comes back to the flesh and the spirit. The war is constant. Have you ever noticed how Galatians 5 is worded? It's the battle of the flesh and the spirit, the war, the constant war. The Adamic nature versus the Christ nature. The Adamic seed versus the Christ seed. And Galatians 5, the wording is, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. It goes on and on. The fruit of the Spirit. There is no fruit produced unless there's a seed planted. Can you get fruit from an apple tree? Can you get apples without a seed? Can you go outside and get that beautiful peach without a seed being planted in the ground? Can you get a strawberry without a seed? I remember years ago when Grace was planting in the garden and she wanted to plant strawberries. And I remember her putting the seed in the ground and every day watering it, every day making sure it had enough sunshine, every day. And she just hovered over that seed. And then, all of a sudden, here comes strawberries. But she had to nurture and water and watch it and cultivate. Fruit comes from seed. The fruit of the Spirit comes from seed. Hallelujah. The flesh is warring against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. That's your war for the rest of your life. Right here. We're always worried about some devil. The devil cannot touch you until you're in the flesh. Remember that. The serpent's curse back in Eden was on the belly you will crawl, and from the dust of the earth you will eat. So if the serpent crawls on the ground and eats from the dust of the earth, what are you made of? God created man in his image. From what? The dust of the earth. So when you revert to the carnal nature, Satan can feed on you. Because the serpent can only feed on the dust. But when you live in the spirit, he can't get you. So the war is between your choice, spirit or flesh. How will you live your life? The destiny, the calling, the purpose is all in the seed of the spirit. Because in the seed is the fruit. Hallelujah. Are you getting this today? I wish I could hear you say amen if you are. Again, I want to reiterate this point, and it will answer so many questions that we have about, I can't find my purpose. What am I supposed to do? I don't know where to go next. It's already in you. What you are supposed to do is already in you. Why you have come to earth is already in you. You just have to feed, water the seed. You know, feed the seed, it'll grow. Starve the seed, it'll die. So you've got to feed the seed. And we've got to learn to live in the Spirit. And you read Galatians 5:17 through 25, talking about this war and the production of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. So when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you see love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Oh, that's a tough one. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Ooh, self-control. Very few people have self-control today. People are out of control. That's because they live in the flesh. When you live in the Spirit, you have self-control. But look at the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, hatred, contentions, jealous, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. The list goes on and on. Why? All of that list of this workings of the flesh, they all connect with the seed of Adam. So when we start behaving like that, we're reverting back. But when we see this fruit coming into your life, love and joy and peace and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, then we see something is taking place there. We are watering. We're spending time in the Word. We're spending time in the presence of God. And now something is growing in us, the seed of Christ. Galatians 5:24 says, and those who are Christ, those who belong to Jesus, have crucified. Oh, here's the word that we want to run from, but we've got to come back to it. Have crucified the flesh with the passion and the desires. If we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. So what is Paul saying here? Those of us who have the seed of Christ, we have to crucify the flesh every day. It's dying to self. It always comes back to this, doesn't it? It always comes back to dying to self. Only can you live in Christ when you die to self. And your purpose is all wrapped up in living in Christ. The seed in you carries everything you need to live your life to the fullest, fulfill your destiny, answer the call, fulfill the assignment. Everything is in the seed in you. So how are you going to get there? You know, this is a question that everybody wants the answer. How am I going to get to this destiny? How am I going to fulfill this assignment? I know God has called me. I know there's a purpose. I know there's something for me to do. But how am I going to get there? Well, let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at Paul. How in the world did he get there? He had a Damascus Road experience, number one. But when he was born again, how did he end up being the man who wrote the majority of the New Testament that we're still reading today and will continue to read generation after generation will continue? How is it that he got to that place? First of all, from being this legalistic man who was killing believers to the man who talks about dying to self. How did he get this revelation? How did he fulfill this calling, this monumental calling? Did he have a Damascus Road experience? Did he receive Jesus and just go back? He spent time. You think when the scales fell off of his eyes, remember he was blinded at Damascus, he just jumped up and started preaching with revelation? Didn't happen that way. It took time. He had to go back and study the scriptures. He had to have an experience with God. The seed had to be watered. And the watering of the seed in the soul of Paul took Paul to his destiny. It led him to his divine purpose, and what a purpose he had. You can look back through the portals of time and history and see men and women who accepted Jesus and this transformation within, and how they accomplished their assignment in the earth, and it was through this exact same pattern, the watering of the seed, the feeding of the seed, the nurturing of the seed. I look at my father, you know, I always go back to my dad in so many examples because he was such a man of the Spirit. Do you know that my father lived in a home with idols? People make all these excuses as to why they can't find their purpose. We talk about being a victim of this and a victim of that, and this has held me back and that's held me back. Well, how do you compare that to a Hindu boy accepting Jesus at 11 years old, knowing nothing yet? But the seed came in. The seed came in while my grandmother and my grandfather are worshiping idols. They were Hindus. My dad had to continue living in that house. He didn't get married to my mom until they were in their 20s. But in the culture, you live with your parents until you are married. That is the Indian culture. My father had every excuse in the book to backslide, to question God, to live in the flesh. But somehow, in a Hindu home full of idol worship, not encouraged at all by my grandparents, in fact, discouraged in his conversion, my dad, at 11, was able to advance. So by the time he was 15, the pastor asked him to preach his first sermon. How in the world did he do it? 4 years from 11 to 15? And he had to go to school. My dad was brilliant. My aunts will, you know, they've had so many conversations with me about how my dad was just the top of his class since he was young. God gave him a brilliant mind. However, my dad was interested in something more than just his school work. He wanted to know what was in the book, and he studied the Bible every minute he had. He prayed. He went to church services. He got in the presence of God because he lived in the presence of idols. But you know what? He carried the seed in him. And that seed in him was greater than the environment he lived in, because he fed the seed. He continued. We today, we have all these excuses. well, I just don't know. I'm not coming to my purpose. But it really, if you look at what is really causing this, it's a lack of our commitment and dedication to continue to press on and persevere by studying the Word, getting in prayer, getting in worship, and getting around ministries that have an anointing to continue to propel you forward. We have to come back to the realization that there is really no excuse. We just have to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I just haven't put in the time. We want this grandiose imagery to come forth and God say, this is your destiny, go. It's not like that. That oak tree I'm looking at, it wasn't just voila, and it appeared. That seed had to be watered. There had to be sunlight. There had to be rain. It had to go through something to produce that oak tree I'm looking at right now. The destiny in your life is going to be fulfilled by the Spirit. And when you live in the Spirit by study of the Word, getting in the presence, spending time, that seed will grow. That destiny will become a reality. Do you know that my dad, he never looked back. I remember as a child, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, my dad would go to work and my mom and my grandparents, my mom and dad, or my dad's parents would, you know, I would stay there. They would watch me babysit all day long. And I remember my grandmother trying to influence me in Hinduism. She would do her morning prayers, offer up this thing, looks like fudge, we called it para, and she would dance around these crazy idols with 6 legs and arms and a trunk of a like an elephant. I mean, it scared me. I thought, what in the world? What is this thing? She had a shrine. She had a room. I mean, this room was dedicated to this thing. And burning incense, dancing around. Like, that thing is going to eat that fudge. It was this candy she would make. We called it para, but it was like what we call in America, like a fudge. And she would dance around with this thing on a plate. Incense burning, and I'm sitting there watching all of this. Again, I'm just this innocent child. I don't even know what's going on. I just think it's odd. And I was in that presence. But you know what? I accepted Jesus at a young age, and the seed was in me. And my dad continued to feed me the Word as I grew up. Thank God we came to America and got away from that. But even if I had to live in it, there was something greater in me. And when we came to America, you know, my dad preaching the gospel and traveling and all this and hearing the Word, the seed was in me. But there was a point in my life that I rebelled. Now, the seed was still in me, my late teenage years when I got into the modeling world, but I wanted my own life. I wanted my own destiny. I wanted to have my own purpose. And I walked away from God. Years I was out in the world, carving out my own purpose until I laid in a sick bed for 2 years. And God brought me to the end of myself, and I began to change. And all of those things that were in my soul had to be removed. And the seed that was dormant began to get watered by the word and worship and prayer. And when the Lord healed me and I came out of that, I wasn't just, oh, instant, ready to preach. It wasn't like that. I still had to mature. I still had to continue. I remember I would go to every one of my dad's services, every Bible study, traveling or local. I was so hungry. And I would meditate. My spiritual mom, Charlotte Hannah, who you've heard on these calls before, we would travel to crusades and conferences, Bible and notebook. I had notebook after notebook filled with notes. I would come home and study and I would get that in my spirit. And all of a sudden, the seed was growing. Didn't have my destiny fulfilled yet. Really didn't even know what I was doing. I just was going after God. And then the Lord began to show me dreams and visions of what he had called me to do. The last thing I ever thought would be to be a preacher. I promise you that. That was the furthest thing from my mind. In fact, I didn't want to do it at all. I begged God, can you please use someone else? I just don't think I can do this. I don't want to do this. Doesn't matter what you want. This is your calling. It has nothing to do with the desire of your soul. It has everything to do with what I placed you on earth to fulfill. Your assignment is to preach the gospel. Your purpose is to do that which I have destined you to do. And when I came into the purpose, everything in my life changed. I knew that this is what I was called to do. I am in my purpose right now. But I am no different than you. You see, the purpose that you're searching for, it's already in the seed in you. But you have to do something. Remember, God is looking for us to make a commitment to his word, to worship, and to prayer. Because when we live in that, all of a sudden, we begin to change. And the Spirit begins to grow. The seed of Christ, that divine seed without sin, without sickness, without any hindrance of this earthly realm, it's in you. The purpose that God has for you, why he designed you, why he created you, why are you here? It's all inside the seed in you. And when you begin to really make the Lord your everything and continue to go forth, that is when you will come into it. I promise you. It is no different for you than it was for me, than it was for my dad, than it was for anyone. It's the same principle. It applies to us all. What is the holdup? The holdup is the person in the mirror. You know, God called me to the ministry not so I could just stand in the spotlight and preach to people. He made this very clear to me. This isn't just about you standing there preaching to people. This is about you helping to get people to their destiny. This is about you releasing my word to get people aligned into their purpose. You have to do your part in private, your time alone with God, and you have to also be around ministries that bring the presence that will ignite you into your purpose. It's very important. Why do you think there's a fivefold ministry? Why do you think God has set up ministries? to help the saints of God fulfill their destiny, to get you into that place, encouraging you in the Word and in the Spirit. It is important that we come together. It is important that we listen to messages. It is important that we get around ministries that will propel us forward. And I pray that that's what you get out of this ministry. You know, I preach these messages, these podcasts. These are messages that need to be preached in a pulpit on a Sunday morning. And you're not getting a Sunday morning service. You're getting three messages a week. All of these messages, if you were to take them and study your notes and listen to them over and over and over again, you'll start producing from the message. That's how I did it. I would listen to my dad's messages over and over. I would read my notes over and over. And it began to produce fruit in me. My love for the world just began to dwindle, and my love for God, oh, that began to increase. I had a gentleman email me from Monday's message, and he said, "This was so powerful. I'm going to listen to this again and again." You see, you can't get everything the first time, and I would encourage every one of you, listen to today's podcast again and again until it sparks something in you. We've got to listen until the message becomes a reality and that seed in you is quickened. Only the Holy Spirit can quicken the seed. Blessed be the glorious name of the Lord. So today, if you want to know your purpose, you want to know why you're here on earth, you want to know your assignment, it was already chosen before you came. But how do you find it? You find it by going through the steps of what I have laid out today. And when you come into this, there will be no doubt in your mind that you are on the right path. You will never have a doubt or a question that you are fulfilling your purpose. You will know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. God created you with a purpose, and it's in the seed in you. Right this moment, it's in there. Blessed be his name. Do you know why I love to hold services in person? I've been doing this now since the late 90s. I have seen so many people changed, healed, delivered, come into their destiny. You know why I love to preach the gospel and I love to hold services in person? Because there's such an experience that people go through that I get joy out of seeing people change. I feel a phenomenal joy and fulfillment when I see people come into their calling and their destiny and their purpose. When people come to services and they're crying, they're weeping, they get broken, and all of a sudden, they have a revelation of who they are to be. Or they get set free from something that's been holding back their purpose. So many things happen in a service. You never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's moving from one end of the auditorium to the other. The Spirit of God begins to move. And people get touched, and all of a sudden that kind of dullness, dryness that you've had, you find you fall in love with the Lord all over again. Something happens in these meetings that sparks the seed on the inside of you. That's why I do what I do, because every single person that is born again has a seed. And if you come to a service and you're not, you will get born again. I have called people out in services by the Spirit. Trust me, I don't know half of these people. I have called people out by the Spirit and pulled them to the front and asked them, are you ready now to receive Jesus? These are people that don't know the Lord. And I have seen that moment in time change their life forever. I have seen people recommit their lives. I've seen people walk out of a service completely different than they walked in. That's why I do what I do. Because we've got to reproduce. One life must impact another, must impact another, must impact another. It's like multi-level marketing. I mean, the Lord created this. It is a multiplication. What I have, I pour into you. What you have, you pour into another. And what one seed quickens another seed, quickens another seed, and it is a chain reaction, because you don't know how your life is going to impact another life. But if what God has put in me, I don't give to you, I'm holding back. There have been so many services I've been in that preacher imparted what was in them. That presence and that power and that anointing, and I connected with it, and it took me to the next place I needed to go. That is why you need to come to a service. Stop this online excuse. We've got to get in a place where we have no distractions. This Good Friday service, I promise you all, this is going to be different than any other service. It's the year of Jubilee. I've been telling people this over and over and over. What does that mean? Jubilee means freedom. Everything changes in Jubilee. And when you get in a place where you connect with God in an atmosphere of corporate worship and prayer and the Word, everything will change. Those of you still sitting on the fence, maybe I go, maybe I won't, you need to come. How important is it for you to have an experience with God? You know, people, thousands have been coming from all over the world just to sit in a school chapel and sing some songs because there's something happening. It's revival. It's a hunger. You got to have a hunger. People will clear their schedule when it's important enough. Is a service that you can be transformed important enough? You see, it's important to God for us to gather. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's what God said. Every one of us is carrying something inside. Do you know that when I come into a service and I'm around you wonderful, precious saints of God, that it quickens the seed in me? To be in a service among the men and women of God that we are going to be together for eternity. But to be together to worship our Lord, do you know the power that comes? If one puts 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000, what happens when hundreds and thousands come together? There's a power generated there. So the services that we hold are not just for you, it's for me too. Because I receive a fresh infilling. I receive a fresh touch from God. You can't get in the presence of God and not get changed. That is why everything must be ordained by the Spirit for you to receive by the Spirit. If we do this thing by the flesh, you're not going to get anything. But there's a seed in you, and I'm going to wrap up right now because I've gone very long today, way over my 30-minute mark. There's a seed in you. It's the seed of Christ. Your destiny, your purpose, your commission, your assignment, everything is in there. How does it become a reality? By watering it. And just as it became a reality for multitudes of men and women that have impacted the world, it too will be a reality for you if you follow what God has called you to do. The simplicity is the profundity. Worship, word, prayer. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit to quicken us again. We're coming into the feast of Passover. The blood on the doorpost, the blood that spared them from death, a representative of Jesus, the slain Lamb of God, whose blood shed would take us from that old Adamic bloodline into a new bloodline. Blessed be his name. I'm going to be talking about that Good Friday. We're going to be talking about this bloodline and the power of the covenant of blood. I've never preached this message before, but the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about this, and it will change your life. It's going to change my life. I'm looking forward to being with those of you that are coming to our annual Passover Good Friday service, April 7th. Thank you for joining me today. Much for you to meditate on. Much for you to really sit back and contemplate about your own life, where you are in your walk. It matters not your age. God doesn't look at age in the way we look at it. He looks at your spiritual age. We've got to grow. We've got to mature so we can fulfill that destiny. If you missed Monday's message, I want you to go back and listen to it, because it really does connect with today's message. I think it will really help you and really explain a lot of the questions that we have pertaining to our purpose on earth. We all wonder what we're called to do, but God wants you to come into it and not wonder anymore. He wants you to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, because everything you're called to be is already inside. The Lord bless you. It was a joy to be with you, as it is every time we meet. And those of you that have not gotten your tickets yet, please get them today and bring people with you. Invite everyone you know. This is going to be a powerful service. SharonBoland.com is the website to get your ticket. Reserve your seating. And if you have any comments, or you would like to share some thoughts today, or maybe you have a question on the message that was presented this morning, feel free to email me, contact@SharonBoland.com. Have a glorious day. We'll see you again on Friday.